You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I can't wait to get to this offensive conversation about Jimmy Kimmel talking about Japan and how clean it is. And we're going to discuss what are those differences between us and Japan and many, many other things this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before I get to any of that, let me remind you, tomorrow it's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So tonight, now, or this morning, whenever you're listening, email in jesse@jessekellyshow.com your questions, and we will go through as many of them as we possibly can tomorrow. Now, let's have a chat. Jimmy Kimmel, there's articles written about it. I actually have the audio of it. The failed late night comedy hosts had this to say.
Traveling to Japan, I realized that this place, this USA we're always chanting about, is a filthy and disgusting place. We were in Japan for 7 days. Not only did I not encounter a single dirty bathroom, the bathrooms in Tokyo and Kyoto are cleaner than our operating rooms here. Everywhere you go, the bathrooms are clean. They don't smell bad. They have those toilets that wash you from the inside out. And not just in a hotel, restaurants, bars, truck stops. I went to 2 truck stops. I swear to God, the bathrooms cleaner than Jennifer Garner's teeth. The cleanest. Beautiful. And it's not just the bathroom. There's no litter. They clean up after themselves. They bring their garbage to their houses. It's like the whole country is Disneyland and we're living at Six Flags.
Remember those conversations we've had about elite communist scum versus street communist scum? Stay with me. Just stay with me a moment. I'm going to go somewhere with this. And how we've been talking, in fact, we've talked a lot about Jamal Bowman, about how he tried to make the transition from street to elite. Well, here's the truth in the matter. All street communists, all of them, dream of one day making the transition to being an elite communist. You know, even the, look, the LGBTQ tranny weirdo freak on the corner who has his penis tucked between his legs and whatnot, and he's, of course, yelling at kids because they're always all about the kids. Yeah, I mean, he's a deranged nut job who should be locked in a cage. But the truth is, he doesn't want to be on the street corner with the pink feather boa forever. He wants to be important. He wants to feel important. On a Saturday, instead of throwing on his leather chaps and rubbing his butt in the face of toddlers, he wants to be called Mr. Kelly. He wants someone to buy him a steak. He wants to fly first class, stay in a nice hotel room. All of them want to become elite communist scum. In fact, this applies to more than just communists. Human beings, it is human nature to want, have a desire for something, quote, better than what you have. Now, you and I can disagree on whether or not that's better. I personally would not take a huge mansion, even if you gave it to me. It sounds like a huge pain in the butt. I need very few things, but we all do, myself included. We want to better ourselves, right? I want more money, like you want. I want a nicer car, like you want. I want more comfortable clothes like you want. We all want these things. But here's the thing. It's not a matter of whether or not you want these things. It's a matter of whether or not you want to do the things it takes to get those things. You see, What's something else we all want? Here's something we all want. Everybody. We all want to look incredible in a bathing suit, don't we? Dudes, when you take off your shirt at the beach, you want a six-pack there? Want the ladies looking at your shoulders? Oh my gosh, look at how hot he is. Of course you do. Whether you're 12 or 92, that's something you want. Ladies, you throw on the old bikini or a one-piece, depending on how old you are, and you head down to Cancun. You want all the heads turning as you strut your way to go get a pina colada at the bar? Of course you do. Of course you do. But why don't you have that? Why don't I have that? Forget about you. We'll set it out to me. Why don't I have a six-pack, and why don't I look like a Greek god? I'm a 42-year-old man. It's not as if I'm 82. Why don't I look like a Greek god? I realize I'm not a rumpled-up pilot of a disaster, but I ain't no Greek god. Why? Well, I may want it, but you'd kind of have to give it to me, because what I don't want to do is I don't want to never eat chips. I don't, while I enjoy working out, I don't want to work out 3 hours a day. I don't want to lift weights for 2 hours because I got up at 3 a.m. this morning and then I drank nothing but protein and ate beef jerky until I get off work and now it's back to the gym before I climb Mount Everest. I don't want to do that. Therefore, I'm not ever going to look like that Greek god. Here's the truth. The American communists, all communists, they want the good life too. Just like everyone else. They're just totally unwilling to do what it takes to get it. Communists, do you agree with Jimmy Kimmel? When you're a Democrat, no, it's probably not talking to you, but if you are, and I know there are many who hate listen, when you walk down the streets of New York, when you step over that hobo who's shooting heroin in between his toes and you accidentally, oh, shoot, your tennis shoe stepped right in his pee, are you saying to yourself, man, that was awesome. I hope I run into that again. Or are you saying to yourself, gosh, it'd be better if he wasn't here. I feel like my day would have been better without that. Well, of course, your day would have been better without that. You don't want him there. But are you willing to do the things necessary to get him out of there? Japan is an incredibly clean country. And no, I'm not, as you well know, I'm not one of these people who points to every country but America and says, wow, they do things so much better there. I'm not saying that. But having been to Japan, spent some time there, I was there for about 6 months, it's very clean. Even their biggest cities. You know, we here in America, we actually have baked something into the cake of our minds that's not true. And here's what we baked into our minds. Big cities? Ah, big cities are going to be a little dirty, right? You know, I'm a New York City fan. Before de Blasio took over, before it all went to crap, I love New York City and I still love it, but I used to really, really love it. And I've told you about that for years. I love visiting. My wife and I would love visiting. Now, we always understood, look, you're gonna run into some homeless people. If you're out late at night, after midnight, there's a chance you're going to see someone on the sidewalk that's going to prompt you to cross the street. You understand, when you visit New York City, it is baked into your mind, you are going to run into smells. Now the whole place smells like marijuana, but setting that aside, before that, trash. Trash just stacked on the sidewalks. Trash here, trash there. Smells. Again, I'm not dogging on it. It was baked into the cake. Baked into the cake of my mind. Cities, whether I'm in LA, New York, Chicago, Miami, Seattle, any of the cities I love, there's going to be some dirty. You know that doesn't have to be that way, right? Go to Tokyo. Tell me if you should have that baked into your cake. It's not like that in Tokyo. I think Tokyo, I might be wrong about this, Chris, I believe it's the biggest city in the world now. I think they have something like 35 million people. It's crazy how big Tokyo is. And Tokyo is not like that. Okay, so we want that, right? Don't you want that to be New York City? I was right, Chris? Okay, yeah, I'm right. Don't you want that kind of cleanliness to be in Chicago? You want it, right? I want it. Now that we know there's a bright, shining example, we don't have to have our big cities be crime-ridden, homeless-filled, pee-smelling dumps. Now that we know, you know, I know, we want that, right? Yay, we want that. I want that. Okay, well, do you want to do the things it takes to make that happen? You see, here's what you cannot do as a nation. You cannot, Jimmy Kimmel and every other Democrat listening right now, you cannot make, and we'll get to immigration in a moment, but you cannot make hatred of your country a central tenet of your religion and then also have a clean, good country. As I've expressed many times before, if we all lived in a 100-person village and that village was full of people who love it, they feel blessed to be there. What a blessing this village is. I love this place. Well, then when you're walking from one mud hut to the other mud hut in the village and you see somebody left a Hershey's wrapper on the ground, when you love your village, you say, oh, I don't like that eyesore. Someone must have dropped that. And you bend over and you pick it up and you put it in your pocket. But when you've been trained from your earliest age that your village sucks, it's evil and it's racist and it's misogynist and it's never been right, well, then when you see the Hershey's wrapper, you go, ha, good, this place deserves it. Hang on, let me eat a Hershey's bar and drop one of my own. You cannot have a lack of patriotism and have a clean society. It's not possible. Now, that was the least offensive part of this. Let's get more offensive. Next. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, offending everybody on a Thursday before we go into Friday and the weekend and everything else. We'll get to so much more, but let's go back to the comments in case you're just now joining us. We're having a real offensive talk about why is it Japan is so clean, especially their big cities. How are they so clean? America's own.
Traveling to Japan, I realized that this place, this USA we're always chanting about, is a filthy and disgusting place. We were in Japan for 7 days. Not only did I not encounter a single dirty bathroom, the bathrooms...
We got it. Now let's have a talk about how to make a society. What makes a society? Well, you see, a society, it has to unite around common values. And there have to be enough of those common values that the people themselves see a benefit in the society and they want to better the society out of appreciation for it. Not because they hate it, but because they appreciate it so much, they want it to be even better. That's how you build a society of any size, whether, again, we're talking about a tiny 100-person village or a massive nation. Now is when we can begin a debate, and it's fine to have this debate about what that means for, well, religions. How many different religions do you want in your society? Do you want one? Do you want two? 100? How many are okay? Let's talk about cultures. How many, if you have a society of people that are coming from other places, and in general, pretty much every society is built by people who've come from other places. If you want people who've come from other places, how many other places? What places? If you do come, what are the rules? Now, let me pause for a moment. Maybe right now you're saying, well, hold up, Jesse. You say every society is full of people who came from other places. Not from Japan. They've always just been Japanese and been very isolationist. No, that's actually not true. Did you know that Japan, they had their own Indians too? Well, what do we call them today? Everyone has to be nice about something. Natives. Well, they had their own native population. Do you know why Japanese samurai armor looks the way it looks? with kind of the flaps on the arms. And do you know why it looks that way? It's really cool, by the way. Do you know why it looks that way? They used to, in the very beginning, they had more traditional looking armor when they were copying the Chinese. Then they got in these terrible fights with their, quote, natives, with their Indians. And they found out that the Indians wore this special armor that allowed them to move and operate on horseback. And they said, wow, that would be pretty handy. And they developed that same armor in order to defeat their Indians. Japan went through the same thing every other nation did. Hey, we're more advanced. We got to conquer the tribes. And yet now we look at them as this homogenous society. Okay, so let's discuss this. How many religions do you want in your society? How many different people from different cultures? Well, I'm not going to sit here and pretend as if I know the all-knowing example of this, but all we can do is look historically on what has worked and what has not. Sure, there have been many, 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 many societies where they had one religion that was dominant and everything kind of centered around that, and that can get you to being a dominant society. Look at things like the Ottoman Empire and the Eastern Roman Empire, and they're really centered around one religion. But there have also been many, many societies where they did have several different religions. Why was that allowed? Why did it work? The Mongol Empire was that way. The Mongol Empire, you know what they were famous for? They'd have a mosque right next to a church. And I mean right next to each other. There's the mosque. There's the church. Why did that work? In the Roman Empire, actually, before, forget about the Eastern Roman Empire. In the Roman Empire, why did they have so many religions? Well, they allowed them all in because in Roman society, if you were conquered and you became a conquered people, you were allowed to practice your religion as long as everyone got together and agreed there are a certain set of values you will adhere to as a Roman citizen. Practice your religion all you want. Oh, if you're look, here's a great example for modern day. You're a Jew? You're in Jerusalem? No, of course. Go down to practice your religion. Go down to the synagogue. No big deal. You have a problem paying taxes? Ooh, yeah. See, that's going to be a problem. As a nation, you can welcome in many different kinds of people, many different religions, and that's fine. Or you can have one religion. Again, that's fine too. But you have to ensure that they all will conform to a specific set of values, whatever those values may be as a nation. And they don't have to be identical. If you started a country tomorrow, let's say you had 5 basic values. Everyone who lives here has to have these. And everyone who wants to come here has to have these. Your 5 values might be different than my 5 values, but let's understand something. We better have a specific set of values, a specific thing that unites the people in that society, a specific thing that gets everybody pulling in the right direction. Chris is a Jew, as we make fun of him for all the time. Jewish producer Chris, I'm a Christian. Chris is a Jew. Well, why is there no tension? Well, we're pulling the same direction on like a million different things. Therefore, it can work. Look, if we don't have anything in common, then it's going to be a problem. You understand? For a nation must demand, no matter what, that a specific set of values are adhered to and pushed by its citizens. And we don't do that here. And I'm not quite done on this. I'll finish up my point in just a moment. Before I finish up that point, just another reminder, they're going to get us into World War III.
Ukraine will become a member of NATO.
Do you have your emergency 3-month food kit yet? Do you have any idea what's coming? I don't, actually. I'm not telling you what's coming. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not really an oracle. Here's what I do know. I do know they're attacking the monetary system and the food supply at the same time they're poking in the ribs every nuclear power on the planet. A 3-month emergency food kit is a basic necessity. It's not going over the top. It's the basics. My Patriot Supply has one ready for you. 3-month food kits are $200 off per kit right now. Over 3 million families have gone to My Patriot Supply and done the basics. You be the next one. Everyone in your home needs a 3-month food kit. PrepareWithJesseKelly.com is where you go to save money. PrepareWithJesseKelly.com. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget that tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Finishing up our offensive talk about Japan. Now, we were talking about culture and how many religions can you have, and why can you eat off the floor in Japan and not here? Why are big cities clean there and not here? You know, your big city doesn't have to be dirty. Well, that brings us to the other part of it, immigration. Listen, as a nation, you absolutely can have people immigrate to your country. But there has to be the strictest rules when it comes to that. And I won't go into all the detailed rules, but the biggest one is this. It's not that you renounce where you came from. It's not just that, although you should absolutely have to renounce your citizenship before you become an American citizen. It's not that you never think about it. If you just got off the boat from Italy, you're going to be eating Italian for dinner tonight. You're going to go to an Italian street festival in New York. You're going to do these things. However, you must see yourself as an American. And America, it is our duty to monitor how many of these people come in. And when they do come in, to ensure that you have to to become American in order to function in our society. So no, you don't get a Spanish wing in your school. No, you don't get this. You don't get that. You will become an American. But the longest time ago, this isn't even something new. The longest time ago, Americans, bleeding hearts in this country, decided that we can remain a country just importing mass quantities of people from all over the place with no rules whatsoever. We're just going to be nice and nice, and isn't this nice? And we're super nice. And then we wake up one day and we wonder why we look around and we have a country where people, it's like they don't share our values. They don't! They don't share your values. We have a society where we've brought in all kinds of parts of the other world. We've made no demands on them to become American. And let's just focus on that part for a moment. Understand that it's been 100% a left-wing operation that the right wing has participated on. That, well, there is no such thing as American. Well, we're multicultural. We're a melting pot. I mean, America is whatever. That's garbage. America is a country founded on the idea that man should be free, that government should be small, that you are a sovereign citizen who should have the freedom to make your own choices. That is what that's what America is. That's what we were founded on. And if you want to step foot here, wherever you're coming from, you should have to abide by those ideals or pack up your crap and go back from whence you came. And guess what? That's immigration policy in Japan. Here, I'm going to read you some numbers here. You know how we've been taking in all the world's dregs for years and years and years and years and years. It's not just the Biden administration phenomenon. This takes place, well, under every president. It got better under Trump, but still took place there. You know, and so many of these people come because they're refugees seeking asylum, right? Asylum. Well, almost all those asylum claims are bogus. You don't get to, quote, seek asylum just because your country's a dump. That's not how that works at all. But we take them all in anyway. And they're all now in our country. Now, I'm going to read you some numbers. All right? Just stay with me for a moment. 10,901 and 28. 19,628 and 20. 10,493 and 42. Oh, I could keep going, but I won't. You know what those numbers had in common? The first number, the big one? 10,901. That was the number of applications, asylum applications, Japan received in 2016. How many did they accept and approve? 28. 19,628 applications the next year. How many did they accept? 20. 2018, 10,493. How many did they accept? They had a real lenient year that year. 42. The United States of America, we just take them all. You cannot import endless quantities of the third world into your country while making no demands on them and then wake up one day and look around and say, I don't understand. Why do they pick up litter in Japan? Why is nobody pooping in the sink in the public restrooms in Japan? Japan has all kinds of problems. I'm not here to act like they don't. But Japan, for the longest time, has taken drastic steps to ensure that Japan is full of people who love Japan. The United States of America, for the longest time, has taken steps to ensure that America is full of anyone who wants to come here. Want to know why? At 1 a.m., I could send my wife. My wife's 5'3". Now, I could take her gun away from her, and I could send her on a five-mile walk in Tokyo at 1 a.m. on a Friday night, probably without a care in the world. Maybe some drunk had yelled at her, but probably without a care in the world. Send your wife on a 5 mile long walk through Brooklyn, forget about Brooklyn, through the Bronx, through the south side of Chicago on a Friday night at 1 a.m. May I suggest you get her will updated before you send her along the way? You cannot magically have a clean country. It doesn't happen magically. The same way you, the same way me, I don't get to magically become a Greek god physically just because I want to be. I either have to do the hard things necessary to make that happen, or it won't ever happen. You want to tell each and every person who comes into the country, sure, just bring your culture with you, bring whatever with you. I'll gather up by yourselves. We'll give you your special this, your special that, your special this, your special that. Well, guess what? You're going to wake up one day and look around you like we do today, and you're going to have a country full of people who don't share your values at all. At all. You want to be clean like Japan? Act like Japan. If not, this is what you get.
Just this June, we also made it public that we plan to have 5,000 refugees employed here in Europe. A similar story in the U.S. by 2026. So there's a lot of commitment to also help on the migration pieces.
That's Amazon announcing they intend to hire thousands of refugees instead of Americans right here in America. What do you think would happen if Amazon got up and made a public statement like that in Japan? Well, say goodbye, Amazon. Close up your factory. Sorry, we have Japanese people who want jobs. Goodbye. But here in America, our corporations, everyone understands that's just the way we do business here. Why do we have, 500,000 net job losses for Americans in the past few years, yet immigrant jobs up 2 million, I believe the number is? Because we now have a country that's not about American citizens. They're about the elites. It's about everyone else. It ain't about you. You can't be Japan without acting like Japan. All right, let's move on. Let's get to some emails, and we'll make fun of Joe Scarborough, do all kinds of other things before we do those things. Hey, you want your T levels back? You want to feel better? Ladies, are you tired of running out of gas 2 or 3 in the afternoon? Need that afternoon cup of coffee? You want that to change? Okay, well, do you want it to change? Do you want it to change bad enough that you're going to do something about it? Gentlemen, are you tired of feeling down? You feel depressed a lot? Ah, man, I'm bummed. I can't figure out why. You want to do something about it? Go start taking a stack from Chalk. Whether it be a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. Shoot, if you don't want to do that, start with this. Start with this. How about this? Start with Chalk Lit powder. It's packed full of vitamins and minerals. Forget about the stacks for now. Go get some Chalk Lit powder. Pour it in a drink first thing in the morning and down that. Tell me how you feel after a month. Subscriptions right now, huge discount. You have to use the promo code Jesse. Go to chalk.com, chok.com. Look at all their endless natural herbal supplements and start one. Start feeling better. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll get to some emails next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Don't worry. Ask Dr. Jesse. Friday will be here tomorrow. And if you miss a single part of this show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. We still have some things we have to get to, like no F-16s for Ukraine. Why staying in the red county in your blue state may not be enough. Biden administration trying to fortify the deep state and so much more, but we need to get to some emails. We got a lot of room we got to clear up for tomorrow. Hey, Jesse, I love the show. I was listening to you about hitting back on their own terms. I need to be preemptive. I think we need to have a month of humility in June, not a month of pride, a month of humility, of true love and service for humanity rather than love for themselves. Keep up the great fight. Didn't say I could use his name, so I won't. Chris, I like this. A month of humility. And I feel like I'd be the best one to lead that. What, Chris? No, hear me out. Hear me out. I will be the humble oracle who will guide the masses on how to be humble and not draw attention to yourself. Who's better to do that than the Shogun? So why don't we do it this way? Why don't we, you know, let's rebrand it. What about Jesse's month of humility. I like that. What, Chris? Can you get a hold of corporate? See if we can maybe push that on some billboards or stuff like that whenever you get a chance. Dear Cheddar Bay Flower, you said that only 25% of Republicans vote in the primary, although I'm sure this is true. Someone has to keep voting for Mitch McConnell in his primary, so I wonder how many of the 25% are true pro-America anti-communists. 10%? Maybe? The communists, if they want someone, they're gone. We have a people problem on the right. He said his name is Ryan. Yes, well, that was kind of what we talked about last night. Democrats are Democrats. Republicans, they do Republicanism. Those are two very, very different things. Why do Democrats turn out in primaries, at a rate twice that Republicans do? About half of registered Democrats show up in their primaries, 25% of Republicans do. They care. Now, that brings me to that 25%, the 25% who do show up. Here's the problem. There's being informed, and then there's thinking you're informed. What's a good example of this? Here's one for you. I have the ultimate nerdy example in the world. You ready for this? I'll tell you a little something about me. So you know I've had normal jobs for most of my life before I got this ridiculous job. But one of my main jobs was construction, and I was always working out of town. I was always on the road, staying in hotels, just always working out of town. And one job, when I was working out of town, I got obsessed with sports radio, of all things. Believe it or not, sports radio. I loved sports. I grew up loving sports, so I guess it's not that ridiculous. But I was an NFL freak. Now, this is going somewhere. Stay with me. This will come back to Republicans, Democrats, or whatever. And I started to consume all things football. All things football. If there was a football show on, I'm sure it still exists. There was a football network on that I would listen to, and it was just all football all the time. Football, football, football. No, whether it was off season, football season, all I wanted to do was listen to football talk. Tell me about this and this receiver and this guy in the draft. And I was all football all the time, right? Okay. Well, here's what happened after a while. Once I started consuming so much football info, I'm talking football books, documentaries, everything, I found myself hungering for a deeper knowledge about some things. And when I found it, there weren't many that did it, but when I found it, I thought it was so awesome, meaning this. Okay, so this show, this is Jesse's football show. It's the basic. Well, I think the Giants are going to be good this year. They really need a wide receiver. Hey, Bob, we'll take some calls. What do you think? Okay, sports radio. But then after that is Chris's show. And Chris isn't doing that. Hey, we really need a wide out. Chris, he's breaking down individual plays. Well, they ran a halfback sweep on this play, and it actually didn't work. If you go back and look at the film, it's because the left tackle took a step to the left when he should have made a step to the right, and that allowed the defensive end. Boom! Now all of a sudden I'm gaining knowledge. I found a deeper knowledge. Well, what happened was, after I found Chris's football show, then when I went back to my show, all the surface stuff, it reminded me of how naive and stupid I really was. So I'm going to say something, and it's true. The person who watches Fox News for 20 minutes a day, the Republican, that person thinks they know politics. The same way when I was listening to my NFL shows, I thought I knew football. The second you start to dig deeper than Fox News, you find out how unbelievably dumb you really used to be. How unbelievably uneducated you used to be. You consume probably many different kinds of media. One of them obviously being talk radio, whether you're listening to me live or podcast. But you know what that tells me? That tells me you listen to more than one. I'm not the only one. You probably read things. Unless you're Chris, you know how to read. You probably consume things from different sources. Well, go back to your early political days. How dumb were you? Look, I look at myself and I think, gosh, I didn't know anything. You see, Republicans not only don't show up for primaries, when they do show up, they're morons who think they're smart. Well, I know. Of course I voted for Lindsey Graham, honey. I just saw him on Fox last night talking about securing the border. And honey, I don't like illegal immigration. So we need to vote for Lindsey again because he's going to secure the border, right? I saw it on Fox. And believe it or not, that's not even an insult to Fox News. People think they know and they don't know. That's why you have the most despicable senators from the reddest states. The John Thunes, the John Cornyns, the Tillises, the Cassidys, the Rounds. Look, I could go down the list. The Romneys over and over and over again. Why? How is that humanly possible? Because the 25% of Republican voters who actually do show up in those states are lazy, uninformed, and they think they're informed. They know the team needs a wideout. They don't have any idea about the actual blocking and tackling that wins. None. That's why. All right, we still have an hour. Let's talk about your blue city or county in your red state. Are you safe there? And we'll get to some more emails and other things. Let's also get to protecting ourselves financially. These people, there's no limit. Remember, we've talked about this before. It's not as if these people have a stopping point where they're going to get there and they're going to say, okay, gosh, no more. Woo, we got to back off. Okay, hold up. That's too far. They're just going to keep printing. They're just going to keep spending over and over and over. You know this. You can't stop it and I can't stop it. So what do? Do we give up? No. We prepare. We don't quit. We prepare. That's what Oxford Gold Group is about, preparing. What about your retirement account? Let's focus on that for a minute. Your 401k, your IRA, you worked your entire life for that. Do you have 20, 30% of it as precious metals? Let Oxford Gold Group do that for you, making sure that that bubble can never pop and take away everything you've earned. Call them and find out how easy they make it for you. They'll get it in your physical possession. They'll get it in your retirement. Just call them. Tell them I told you to call and they'll take care of you. 833-995-GOLD or go to oxfordgoldgroup.com/free. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to an iHeart Podcast.